said, dollar a card. He said, I'm going up here for it. All cut right into the stone. I said, all right. So he dropped me up 15, 20 quarters. I take it that way. Another time I bought 10 quarter of 4 foot hardwood cut right out of the old sugar place from old Hugh McInerney in North Burke. I bought 8-10 quarter of him $5 a cord, 4 foot wood. That'd be cut with the bucks off. Cut twice before you could put it in the stove. But as far as vegetables are, oh, I think I did, come to think of it. It was, I don't know if I can remember his name, and he lived in North Burke. And he used to raise vegetables, cabbages, turnips, carrots, onions. And then the following year, he'd go around with a one-horse wagon and sell that stuff to go from Burke to Chattagaga, to Chattagaga to home. Drive every day for it in the fall. I think I bought 2 onions from old, what's it called? I used to do this shoeing, horse shoeing. Probably I bought a bushel or 2 onions through the each season. But very little, as a rule, very little, not enough to make any bones of it.
Did you mind having customers hang around the shop while you worked? Like you said, you made, did you mind having customers around the shop while you worked?
Oh no, it never bothered me at all.
Did they usually stay there? Did they usually stay there while you were
not too much? No. Yeah, once in a while there was one old fellow. He was an old blacksmith. Old Young. His name was Young from Chattagay. He bought a little farm out there. I forget what his first name was. And he used to come down every day. And set down the shop and visit. When I had time to visit with him, visit while I was working, never offered to do anything, but he was an old man, in his 80s. Poor old Mr. Young, I used to enjoy having him. He kept out of the way, he knew that, he knew enough to do that.
While you were doing this work, were you still working for another man?
No, I didn't work for myself.
Yourself.
I never worked for anybody very much. After I quit on the shop, 65, 70 years ago, but 65 that I went on the farm, I took the shop with me. I had his, I built a shop and bought the tools. I used to do a little bit of work for myself and the neighbors, not very much.
The inside of your blacksmith shop, was it just wood or was it lined with tin?
Oh, just wood.
Just wood.
The floor was wood. We had a piece of tin about 2 foot around where the fire was. That was on the front end where the sparks had flown.
How long would it take you to shoe a horse for?
Well, I used to shoe a horse an hour. But there's very few men can do that. I have shod 13 horses in 10 hours. But it was too much. I knew that when I done it. But it was more than 10 hours, you understand. Because if a horse an hour, man take off the shoes, fit the feet, recork the shoes or put on new shoes, see, which you have corked ahead. You generally keep shoes ready ahead. But you could take off the shoes the second setting, we'd call that. The first time they were new, the next time, they were about half worn out. But we'd re-cork them. You know what the corks are on a horseshoe?
No,
tell us.
Well, it's a chunk of steel welded across the front. 2 inches, 2.5 inches long.
Oh.
1 inch high.
Yeah.
1/2 inch wide.
It bites into the ground, Mike.
Yeah, well, it cuts into the ground, and the heel cork is turned up to about 1 inch high and about 1 inch, whatever the thickness of the shoe is, whether it's a 1/2 inch shoe or a 3/8 shoe, or what would upset it a little. Well, that sits up behind, and then it's still corked in the front. And then when he sets down, he don't slip when he starts to draw. Well, in the winter, tools are kept sharp.
For the ice.
But the ice.
Right.
And in the summertime, we call it a mud cart or a sharp cart.
Right.
The mud cart was for the summertime, and sharp cart was for the wintertime.
The man usually have his horses reshod at the end
about
of spring?
Once a month.
Oh, once a month?
Farmer was using his team. He was a good farmer, and a good man with horses. He knew he had to do that once a month, because at the end of the month, the hoof has grown enough that the shoe is off from where it ought to be, and the foot is off from where it ought to be. But if a man is a good carpenter, a good farrier, not a carpenter, a farrier and a carpenter and a blacksmith is two different stories. Blacksmith is the man at the fire, and the farrier is the man that shoes the horses. You know that, didn't you?
We didn't until now.
Hey?
No.
We didn't until now.
Well, there are two different trades.
The farrier is the man that shoes the horses?
Well, shoes the horses. He's a farrier.
And the blacksmith would make them make the shoes.
Blacksmith is the man that does the forging.
But you did both.
Hmm?
You did both.
We had no. See?
Most blacksmiths were blacksmiths and farriers both.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you asked me if I'd ever worked out. I did. About 3 months. I went on down to Connecticut on a visit. And my sister was awfully lonesome down there.
What year would this be?
Oh, I just don't remember. It was a year of this, I think it was. Well, I know if I can fix that out. Come out this way.
Well,
was it before the First World War?
Oh, yes, yes.
After you were married?
Just around what year?
Eh?
Just give us an average year.
Well, I was down there on a visit. And I think it was after I quit blacksmithing.
Before the war?
Yeah. I think it was somewhere about 1921 or 22. Anyway, I was down to my sister's, and there was a fellow in Windsor-Oaks that was running a shop. The streetcars were still drawn by horses, see, horse cars at that time. They only run a year after that, before all went on electricity. But at that time, it was done with horses. Well, those horses had to be kept shod every 2 weeks, pulling those streetcars. A fellow by the name of Lane. He was I don't know what he was, but I think he was poor. Joseph Lane had a big shop. He kept two floor men, three floor men.
What's a floorman?
Eh?
What's a floorman?
I'll name it pretty soon.
Okay.
And I think he had two farriers. At the fire. They fitted the shoes, and his two floor men put the shoes on the horses. Fitted the feet and put the shoes on the horses. Then two young fellas that was learning the job would do the clinching, see? Finish it after you'd cut the nails, they'd batter them down and file it. And her sister said, you could get a good job there at Joseph Lane's, the blacksmith shop. Oh, I says, I'll go down and see about it. So one day I went down there. I says to Vane, what do you pay for a floor man? That all a man does is drive horse nails. Fit the feet and drive the nails. You don't clinch them or you don't take off a shoe. It's done. Somebody else does it. You fit the feet and drive the nails into the shoe. The farrier fits the shoe. He says $2 a day, 10 hours. Well, that was money enough, see. But it wasn't money enough for the work you had to do. He was a hard man to work for. Well, there was a little Dutchman, a little German. He was just about my height, and he was about as heavy as you are. He was quite a lot heavier than I was. But he was about the same size. Mr. Gunn doesn't remember his name today, but I didn't work till only 3 days, so I didn't get very well acquainted. And I went in there drawing it. I could put out as many horses as what the hell. And anyway, just as many horses as he could in an hour. A horse an hour, that was what we were supposed to do. 10 horses a day. I says to Lane, third day, I says, I've had enough of this. He says, what do you mean? Well, I says, too much work here for money you get. Well, he says, I've hired all the men I want. I said, you go right ahead. You ain't going to hire me. So long as I work. Give me $10 and I got him. You give me a dollar more, they're coming to me, but... Oh, he begged me to stay there. That's the difference between a blacksmith and a furrier. A blacksmith ain't supposed to horses. See, a furrier is a horseshoe. But we had to do it all. Because them days, they... They knew it that way, that's all. Got away from that. But you know, there was a day when all the sleighs and the wagons were made by hand and they had to be ironed off. That was a blacksmith's job, you see. He'd iron off wagons, sleighs, farm tools.
How often would he have to iron off a sleigh in the winter? Just once a winter?
Oh, you mean the shoe, the runner.
The runner, right.
The shoe. The runner was the wood. The steel was the shoe.
Right.
And that was a half-inch steel. Half-inch thick, inch wide, three-quarter inch wide, inch and quarter wide, and of course, you have the sleigh. And it was a double sleigh for horses, well, it was anywhere from 2.5 to 3 inches. Or a half-inch thick or a three-inch thick. But on a cutter, driving the sleigh for 1 horse, and it was 3/4 inch each wide by 1/2 inch thick. I had to do about 4 years as a rule. Wouldn't wear out. Go back. Of course, the kind of winter you had. You had snow all winter, and snow went all quick in the spring, where you didn't drag your shoes on the sand. It was a grit before melt. But if you had to open winter, half the time you back then, when you went with a sleigh, well, your sleigh shoes wouldn't last very long. But if you had a good winter and your snow all winter, well, they'd work pretty good. It just saved you an horse. Take a winter where there was deep snow all winter, you didn't need any sharp on your horses because you were just taking the risk of them cutting themselves all to hell if they stepped on their feet. And it wouldn't be very profitable for blacksmith some winters, you know, like this winter. But you take a winter that half the time the road was ice and hot, frozen ground, and men drawing milk to the factory, and I was at a Westville. Now, there was somewhere around 60, 70 patrons there to that factory. They all drove from 2 to 1 for 1 to 2 horses, drawing their milk there. Well, them horses, if it's an open winter where it was icy, about every third or fourth day, their shoes had to be reset, sharp. Horse had dull his shoes in about 3 trips. Now, I tell you, it was pretty expensive for the farmer, and he didn't like it very well. But it was a good job for the smithy. He'd get something out of it.
Was the blacksmith shop at Burke any different from the one you worked in Malone?
Eh?
Was the blacksmith shop at Burke any different than the one in Malone?
Very little. The only difference that was, when I came there, that the fires were on the outside wall. Both sides of the wall, one here and one there. And the shop was in between. Well, I put the fire about 1/3 from one wall in the center of the room, not in the center, but about a third from this wall, and left that west wall all the way up that I could tie horses. I could tie 14 horses in one dime. But sometimes your horses start coming in the morning, and before night come, then shop would be four horses.
So you never had very many slack days, you know,
had slack days, but you always had some repair work. A sleigh that wanted runners, or shoes, sleigh shoes on, or a cutter wanted shoes. Or you, in the summer, you'd have a wagon, two, three wagons there in the yard for the tires to be set. You'd say, well, now I can't set them till shoeing come first, no matter what. If I was working on your wagon and a horse came in, well, we shod that horse. That was a rule. Everybody understood that. We shod that horse.
Get that back.
The 200 pounds of pork, 4 cents.
You bought 400 pounds of pork once.
200 pounds of pork. Four cents.
How much money did you make on an ordinary day, blacksmith?
Well, I've seen days I'd make $10, $12. Other days I wouldn't make a damn cent.
$10, $12?
About an average of about $2 a day.
$2 a day.
It was a big day. You average $2 for the week, you done well. And two-thirds of that was on the book. The other third, took the other third for nails, iron, shoes, bolts.
Did you have to feed the horses while they were there?
No.
Sometimes we had to feed the men that were sitting around there waiting for their horses.
You had to feed them?
Well, if he come in there in the middle of the forenoon, and I had four horses in there, I wouldn't have his horse shod when noon come. What are you going to do with him? Them starved to death. There was a man enough to say, well, come in and have dinner with me. Because I'd stop for noon to have my dinner, no matter what in hell I was doing.
Blacksmiths always wash their hands before dinner?
You didn't have to ask anybody. You do it without being told.
Where'd you live by your blacksmith? Up above or
up there?
Or next door?
There was a house right down the lawn. House and shop.
What was the house? Was it a big house or?
That is still there. You go by Burke Center and look from where the old store is. Right to your right. Burke Center. The house is there. The shop's gone.
How long were you a blacksmith there?
Hmm?
How long were you a blacksmith in Burke?
I was there 9 years. I got a chance to sell it to myself.
What year did you go there?
Dear grandfather was just born in September and I went there the next March.
Your grandfather was born in September of 98.
He was a baby.
And so he went there in March of 99. Stayed there until 08.
How much did you pay for the blacksmith shop in town?
Oh, I think I was paid $800.
Did you have cash, or did you have to,
I paid so much a year.
While you were on Mill Street, did the blacksmiths compete among one another for business?
Not too bad. Not too bad. There was only one, Adlaw Bogey. Your father would know it.
Right.
Adlaw Bogey, he married a Frechette girl. He worked there for Louis Frechette. And Adlaw was a little bit inclined to find fault with his neighbor blacksmith. Because as a majority, the most of them were pretty good mechanics. I don't want to say this because I want to blow my own horn, but I never took a back seat for any of them. Come to me awful handy, awful easy. I learned it awful easy. I was a natural mechanic. I was handy when a little boy. But I could do engines.
So there wasn't much jealousy among the blacksmiths about who got the
very little, skills. Very little. There was one man that, Mr. I don't know if I can tell you his name. It was on Mechanic Street. It ain't there anymore, I guess. It just make a parking lot of it, I guess, today. Oh, Salon, not Salon. Oh. I don't know what he was. I think he was Slavish or something. Not for dark man.
What time did you quit work at night?
6 o'clock.
But you worked, if you had a horse there at 6 o'clock, it was
we finished it. Finished the horses. There was what we called extra. That was fixing wagons and sleighs. We didn't stop. We didn't finish them out.
Right.
No. But we finished the horses out, no matter what the hour was. I'd been chewing horses 8, 9 o'clock. But we'd go home and supper. Come back.
Where did you first set up housekeeping with your wife? Right near the blacksmith shop?
Upstairs on South Street. 2 rooms, had a lounge. The wife done cooking down below, but he had his kitchen, brought it upstairs. Just that summer.
Where did you get your furniture when you set up the housekeeping?
Huntington's furniture store.
Huntington's?
Huntington's furniture store. And do you know? I bought a bedroom suite. Bed. Nothing. Spring. Commode. Bureau. A rocking chair. 2 chairs. For $11.
That's quite a bit for $11.
What were they made of? Solid wood?
Nicest oak. Oak finish. Headboard up there and halfway up to the ceiling. You see some of them old bed sticks?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Huntington's furniture store.
When you were married, after your marriage, did you go on a honeymoon or anything?
No.
No.
I went to work.
Okay. How long did you work there before you moved? You moved to Burke after that?
No, I got done there to the plants in Thanksgiving.
Year? What year?
Same year your father was born. Your grandfather was born. I'll let you figure that out.
Okay.
He was born in September. We left there in November. Thanksgiving Day, I come down to West Hill. And he wanted me to stay and work for him. I'd own my wood if I couldn't find a shop anywhere. I said, I worked the winter for you. I come down to Westville and I was looking around. The old Stewart shop down below the bridge on the old road before they put in that new bridge there. I would rent that shop. $3 a month. We were right in Blackstone shop, and quite a number of tools in it. Quite a number of tools. So I had around about $75 of money on me. I told John that if I could make a trade with Thompson to buy what tools I wanted on time, that I'd come down and rent the shop. And it only. That is his on his farm. But well, now there were 3 or 4 windows. It was a small shop. There was 3 or 4 windows in it, all broke up. Said, you'll have to buy your own windows. I won't buy any windows. He says, what tool is around there? He says, I don't know, is there any good to anybody? But since you want to use them, you have. They're no good to me. Well, they took everything that was really good. So I went up to Thompson's to see Albert Hyde. Remember him?
No.
Well, he married some woman up on Rockland Street, but no, Webster Street. Well, he was head man in Hyde's for a long while, Albert Hyde. He knew me, you know, down working on North Street. So I told Albert what I expected to do or what I wanted to do. Now, I says, Albert, I don't know whether I can do it or not. But I says, I want some tools. I've got to have a drill, standard post, standard drill, hand drill, but geared, you know, put on the wall. Got to have an anvil. I says, there's one old one there, but it's all pounded to pieces. And I says, if I knew why there's a good second-handed one, I says, I'd just soon have it. If it, I forget the name of the anvil, it was a certain anvil that was good. It was something that wasn't too good.
What made an anvil good?
Hmm?
What made an anvil good, as opposed to making it bad?
Well, the manufacturing company, like everything else, that made a good job. Like these hand tools you have today, if you want a first-class one, well, buy Black and Decker. It was no better. Don't give a damn who sells it, nor for what price. You buy a Black and Decker saw or axe or anything, it's what you pay for.
Was the good anvil the heaviest one, or the smoothest?
This weighed 75 pounds. This one I wanted. That's what you call the medium one. There's one bigger, weighed 100 pounds. And there's one under that weighs 60 pounds. They're too light, 60 pounds too light. And the 100 pounds is a little bit too wide. The face. The face on a 75 pounds or 80 pounds. It's 3 inches and a half. That just takes your horseshoe. Wider than that, you have to use a second step on the handle, and it makes you move too much. One thing to another. You'll learn that after a while. Men go chopping wood with a 6-pound axe when a 3 would do better. You better buy a 3. I told him what I wanted. Come to $300. Paradise plates. And grill. And upset. I think that's the drill bits, you know, extras, and the more extras.
What were the drills for drilling holes,
holes to tires or any plate you use building, put the bolts through. From 1/4 inch to half, well, to 3/4 is the biggest I could cut. Same with the taps. I could tap from 1/4 inch to 3/4. That was hardly ever had anything any bigger. Now I said, that's what I've got to have for tools. And I said, I'll have to have a half a ton of coal.
What kind of coal?
Blacksmith coal. It's a cross between hard coal and soft coal. It's what they call red ash. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Never heard of it.
And you don't get it anymore either. You have to use soft coal and it drives you out of the shop. It's hard little any smoke to it.
Did you ever use wood for the blacksmith's fire?
No. Blows right out. By blowing it, you blow the fire right out. Oil, burn of oil, but you can't get a well with wood heat, and you can't get it hot enough with wood.
Where did it come from?
Coal? Oh, they, most anywhere they mine it, they get that.
Oh, no.
It's a cross between anthrax and gas coal. Anthrax is hard coal.
Anthracite.
Well, I got it. And it's a cross between the hard and soft coal. But it's soft coal, but it's hard. In the West, they have almost all that. They have very little, the big soft coal. Pennsylvania gets the most of that. She gets the most of the big hard coal. Pennsylvania gets the most. Pennsylvania, Virginia. So Albert says, all right, Oral. How much can you pay on it? I says, $50. Hell, you pay the rest. I says, whenever I can. Well, he said, don't make it too long. Some of us might die. So I got along with donkeys, all right. I had to have horseshoes, and I had to have bolts, and I had to have nails, everything else. But I got what I wanted when I wanted it. I dealt with it for about 10 years. I never had any trouble with it.
Where did you live while you were blacksmithing? You were blacksmithing in Westville, right?
Yeah.
First.
I come back to Westville, Burke. I was about 6 years there.
Yeah, after you left the shop in Malone, you went to Westville first?
Yeah.
Where did you live while you were in Westville?
In just Malone. Pat was there on that farm to the left, that big hoy house. Perry lived there.
Sure.
You know where Bob lived?
Yeah.
Across the road way down is a big farmhouse.
Yeah.
Well, that belonged to my father. My brother was living there. One half of the house, big house. And he went in with me that winter, you know. And he was a carpenter. He done the woodwork and I done the ironwork. We worked together that winter. Then I bought out there in March. He come with me, he stayed there 2 years with me, and then he went away.
Yeah.